I believe I've given this shir before. How it's taken from my Sefer Or HaOros on page Yud Zayin, but we're doing it for the benefit of our web constituency. So we hope it'll be a good review. I didn't remember it myself, so it'll probably be a good review for everybody who's attending here at the OU. There is a phrase in a piyut that we say on Simchas Torah, and it goes as follows: Nagil v'nasis bezos haTorah, kihi lanu oz v'ora. We sing this on Simchas Torah, and it means we should rejoice. Nagil v'nasis bezos haTorah, with this Torah, kihi lanu oz v'ora, because Torah is to us strength and light. The question that we'd like to try to explain today is, what is this phrase, bezos haTorah? It should have said, nagil v'nasis batorah, we will rejoice in the Torah. What is the expression, bezos haTorah? For example, we say, sos, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, sos anochi al imrasecho, I rejoice on your word, the Torah. So David HaMelech didn't say, sos anochi al zos Imrasecha, he said Imrasecha. So the same thing here, we should have said Nagil v'nasis batorah. What is this expression, Zos haTorah? So I believe that the answer to this question, actually there's two answers, and they both revolve around where we find this phrase in the Torah, Zos haTorah. If we locate this expression in the Torah, I think it will give us an understanding of what this part of the piyut on Simchas Torah is. So the first time we find this is based on a Gemara in Masech de Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Ein divrei Torah miskaimim el b'mi shememis atzmai aleihem. That Torah only has a kiyum. It only lasts if someone is ready to die for the Torah. We'll soon explain what this means. But where is the pasuk? Shenemar zos haTorah. Here's that expression. Zos haTorah. Adam kiyomus ba'ol. We have in Parshas Chukas, the Torah says, this is the Torah. When a person perishes in a tent, and the Torah elaborates what the halachas of Tumah and Tahara are, the halachas, the laws of defilement and purity, and the Torah goes to great length to explain what these dinim are when someone is in the same tent as a mace or comes in contact with a mace. But the Gemara in Gittin understands that it doesn't just mean if, God forbid, someone comes in contact with a dead person, but the Gemara explains the pasuk, Zos haTorah, Ein divrei Torah miskaimim, Torah, learning of Torah cannot have a kiyum unless Adam kiyamis ba'ol, unless someone is ready to give up. The Marsha, one of the commentaries on the Gemara, explains it's only if someone is ready to turn away all materialism. He's, in that sense, he's ready to die for the Torah. He gives up of the gashmias. And this is certainly a lesson in the materialistic society that we live in, where the whole emphasis of American society is materialism and gashmias, and we are badgered from day to night to be a consumer society, to purchase more and more. So certainly if someone wants to acquire Torah, he's fighting against this atmosphere. And it's a very difficult struggle that he has to endure. But this, if he wants to be successful in acquiring Torah, he has to be able to separate himself as much as possible from the pleasures of this world. And his only pleasure, as the Lashon of the Rambam is, he loves Torah so much that this is all he thinks about all day. His thoughts, in every waking moment of the day, is for that which he loves so much, which is the Torah. If a person is ready to give up the regular materialistic life and be totally involved in learning of Torah, in that sense, he's a meimis atzmoy aleihem. In that sense, he's giving up part of his existence, his physical existence, and in a sense, he's dying for the Torah. And therefore, this is very appropriate that we have this simcha concerning Zos HaTorah. We have it after the Yomim Noroyim, after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we enter into Chag HaSukkos, and we go into a sukkah. Our bodies are enveloped in a sukkah. A sukkah is one of the mitzvahs, one of the few mitzvahs. Another one is mikveh, where a person's whole body goes inside of a mitzvah. The person is surrounded with the mitzvahs, with the mitzvah of sukkah, and he's in silsa demnusa, he's in the shade of emuna of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when was this mitzvah given? This mitzvah was given Chag HaOsif, when we gather all our tefuah into the house, and that is a time where man could have a tendency to say, Kochi v'otzem yodi osalias achayel azeh, that my strength, look what I produced, my good farming techniques produced all this, and he could forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that very moment, Hashem says, say, as the lashon of the Chazal is in Masechta Sukkah, say midiras kva ladiras aroi. Go out from your strong house and go into the temporary structure that the sukkah is, and realize that everything that you have amassed is coming not from your strength, but is coming from the shade of Hashem in which you now find yourself in the sukkah. So what is the person actually doing during Sukkot? This message that we just said, he is removing himself from the Gashmias. He is removing himself from the materialism. Just at the moment where he could get all involved in and obsessed with the materialism, that's the moment when Hashem is teaching him this lesson. Tzei midiras kva. Go out from your permanent structure, go into the temporary structure, remove yourself from the materialism of this world. So it is very appropriate that after the Yomim Noroyim, where a person connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've discussed in the previous Shiurim, and Sukkot, where he is going from his permanent structure, his house, into the temporary structure of the Sukkah, that is the moment where, at the end of Sukkot, when it comes Simchas Torah, we sing this song on Simchas Torah, Nogil Venosis, we should rejoice not just in the Torah, but Bezos HaTorah, because that's the Pasuk in Chukas, Zos HaTorah, Adam ki yamis ma'ol. When can a person have the Torah become an integral part of his life? That's when he's able to be meimis atzmei aleihem. When he's able to give up part of his life by giving up materialism, then the Torah can become an integral part of his life. The more he's able to give up on the gashmias of this world, the more the ruchnias, the more the spirituality is able to permeate his entire existence. So this is the first understanding of this pismon that we say in the Payet on Simchas Torah, Nogil Venosis Bezos HaTorah. Perhaps there is also a second thought, and this is based on the second time we find the phrase Zos HaTorah. And this, I think, people are more familiar with. Whenever you pick up a Sefer Torah in Shul, the people point with their finger, usually it's the pinky, the smallest finger, and they say, Zos HaTorah Shesam Moshe Lefnei B'nei Yisrael. This is a pasuk in Dvorim Perek Dalet, pasuk Mem Dalet. And this pasuk, the Zos HaTorah, and this is the Torah which Moshe placed in front of the Bnei Yisrael, it is said right after the Parsha of Orei Miklat. Orei Miklat, as we're familiar, there were six cities where someone who killed another person, Bishogeg, he did it by accident, he was chopping wood in a forest, and the blade of the axe unintentionally fell off, and it hit someone who happened to be standing, and the person who was chopping wasn't even aware. We had this similar thing with Vice President Cheney, who accidentally shot his best friend. So these things happen. He killed, unfortunately, in the case in the Torah, the chopper unfortunately killed someone, and he has an ability to run away to the Ori Miklat, and once he's in these safe cities, these six safe cities, the Goel Hadam, the relative of the person who got killed, is unable to touch him. However, this person has to remain in that city until the Kohen Gadol passes away, and then he's able to leave that city. This is, in short, the Parsha of Ori Miklat. Now, there were three cities in Eiver HaYarden, and there were three of these six cities in Eretz Yisrael itself. So there's a sefer called Maaseh LeMelech, which is written on the Chafetz Chaim on the Torah. And in this sefer, which is a hagoyz, he has certain thoughts, and he wrote it on the Chafetz Chaim and the Torah. So he asks, what is the connection between Ori Miklat, these six cities, these safe cities where someone can run away to, and the pasuk that we mentioned before, Vizos HaTorah Shersam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. This is the Torah that Moshe gave to the Bnei Yisrael. What does that one pasuk have to do with the six Ori Miklat? So he gives the following answer. The parsha of Ori Miklat begins with these words, Oz Yavdil Moshe. Then Moshe, now it should say, Oz Hivdil Moshe. Moshe separated the three cities in Eiver HaYarden. We all know that Moshe did not enter Eretz Yisrael. So he definitely could not designate the three cities in Eretz Yisrael. But the three cities in Eiver HaYarden, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to designate. Now the question that the Sifsei Chachamim asks is, why does it say Oz Yavdil Moshe? It should say Oz Hivdil. And the Sifsei Chachamim explains Rashi's commentary here. Oz, wherever it says Oz in the Torah, it means right now, then. Yavdil means he will in the future. So it's a contradiction. It seems to be that Moshe did it right away. And then it says Yavdil, he will do it. So Rashi says the following answer. That's what's bothering Rashi. And Rashi gives the following answer. Nosan Lev Leos Chored Ledover She Yavdilom. He paid attention that he should be very careful to make sure that he separates them. So what does Rashi mean over here? Rashi is explaining that Oz, then he didn't yet separate it, but Oz, then he decided. He made up his mind, I'm definitely going to do it. I will do it. But his decision to do it was right then. So it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu had a question. Should I separate it or should I not separate it? And he decided, yes, I made a decision, I am going to do it. I will do it. So what was the question why Moshe should do it or should not do it? So the answer is as follows. The Gemara says in Makis Daf Yud that Moshe knew he was not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe knew he would not be able to separate the three cities in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe also knew that the three cities in Eretz Yisrael and the three cities in Eiver HaYarden, where he was in the other side of the Jordan, would not go into effect until all six cities could go into effect. So that means until Yoshua, who entered Eretz Yisrael and separated the three in Eretz Yisrael, until those three went into effect, none of the six would go into effect. So Moshe could have said to himself, why should I bother saying the names of the three cities in Eiver HaYarden? These are going to be three of the six cities. It doesn't go into effect anyway. So let Yeshua do the whole thing. Well, if someone killed someone b'shogeg by accident, and he ran to the three cities in Eiver HaYarden, before Yeshua designated the three in Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't work. The Goel Adam, the relative, would be able, had a right to go into the cities, and he had a right, he has a right to kill that person who killed his relative. So, until all six could go into effect, none of them went into effect. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have said to himself, why bother mentioning the three cities? It's not going to work anyway. Let Yeshua do the whole thing. But Moshe did not say that. Moshe, the language of Rashi is, mitzvah she'efsher l'kaima akayimna. Or the Gemara's lashon is, mitzvah shebo liyodi akayimna. A mitzvah that came to my hand, I'm going to fulfill. What can I do with the mitzvah? All I can do is call it, these are the names of the three cities, which will go into effect when Yeshua goes into Eretz Yisrael and makes the other three cities. So it's a very minute little part of the mitzvah. In other words, that Klal Yisrael knew that when Yeshua goes in, these are going to be the three in Avra Yarden that will go into effect. A very small part of the whole mitzvah. But Moshe didn't mind that it was a small part. That's what Oz, then right away, when Moshe heard that there's going to be six cities, he says, Yavdil, I'm making a decision, I will do it. I'm not going to wait for Yeshua to do it. If Zrizim Magdimim LeMitzvah, a person who's energetic, he tries to do the mitzvah as quickly as possible. I could do this little piece, it's a millionth of the mitzvah, whatever it is, I am going to do it. Mitzvah she'efshel l'kaima akayimna. So now, says the Sefer Masa LeMelech, it's very good. This is the connection between the Orei Mikla, based on this Rashi, and the Pasuk, which we say when the Sefer Torah is picked up. V'zos ha-Torah asher sam Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael. Do you know what Torah Moshe gave us? Moshe gave us this Torah of what? That a person should never say, what can I do? Let's say there's a big project going on, and my contribution, let's say there's a multi-million dollar shul or yeshiva being built. I can contribute $5. That's what I can afford. So I say, in this multi-million dollar project, what's $5? Better I won't give anything. No. If all you can afford is $5, that's your contribution, jump into it. Do what you can do, even though compared to the total budget, it's pennies, it's nothing. If that mitzvah she'efshel l'kaima, you could only do a piece of a mitzvah, akayim na zos ha-Torah, asher shamo. That's the lesson from Ori Miklat. This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us. So it's a beautiful pshat in the connection between the parsha of Ori Miklat and the pasuk. I wanted to extend this thought a little further. That the Gemara tells us, and it's a medrash also, concerning Moshe Rabbeinu, a pshat in a pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk says in Koheles, Oyev kesef lo yizba kesef. A person who loves money is never satisfied for money. A person's a millionaire, he doesn't close shop, I made $1 million, I'm going to retire. He has $1 million, he wants $2 million. He has $2 million, he wants $4 million. The Gemara, in fact, says, Ein adam meis v'chatzi tavos biyare. A person, no one leaves this world having fulfilled even half of his desire. A person always wants double what he has. If he has $1 billion, he would like to have $2 billion. So who is this pasuk referring to? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what does Moshe Rabbeinu have to do with money? The answer is Chazal understand it different. Shlomo HaMelech didn't just mean money. Shlomo HaMelech meant Oyev mitzvos lo yizba mitzvos. A person who, just like someone who loves money, never gets satisfied. I have enough money, I don't need more. It's the same thing. A person who loves to do mitzvahs is never satisfied. He wants to do more and more. And who is the prime example of this? Moshe Rabbeinu. And this, an example of this is here by the Ori Miklat. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. He's already done billions of mitzvahs in his lifetime. And now he has a chance to do a little piece of the mitzvah of Ori Miklat. So one could say to himself, it would be by us, I'm already a billionaire. What do I need? I'm going to be a billionaire plus a little piece of another mitzvah. What do I need it for? But Moshe Rabbeinu was Oyev mitzvahs La yizba mitzvahs. He's a billionaire. He could be 10 times a billionaire, and he has a chance to do another small part of a mitzvah. Oyev kesef la yizba kesef. Oyev mitzvahs la yizba mitzvahs. Ze Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. And so we find the Gemara in Sota Daf Yudalit says the following statement: Mipnei man nisave Moshe likanis la'eretz Yisrael. Why did Moshe have a taiva? The word taiva means unsatiated desire. He had a lust to enter Eretz Yisrael. For what? V'chilecho mipirya hu tzarech. Was he entering Eretz Yisrael to eat the delicious Jaffa oranges that come from Eretz Yisrael? Is that what Moshe Rabbeinu, did he want to tour Eretz Yisrael? What was his desire to enter Eretz Yisrael? Elakach omer Moshe. Moshe said the following: Har bei mitzvos nitzava Yisrael. The Jews were commanded many mitzvos. The aim is kaim in el Eretz Yisrael. They're only able to be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. These are called mitzvos hatluyos boaretz. There are mitzvos that you could only do in Eretz Yisrael. Trumas and maestras and shviyas. All these are mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael. Ikonis ani boaretz. Let me go in. And we know in Parshas Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu daven to minyan Veschanan. The numerical value of the word Veschanan is 515. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 times that he should be able to enter Etzra until Hashem said to him, finally stop. If you're going to say one more tefillah of 516, I'm going to have to be forced to let you enter Eretz Yisrael, and then the Beis HaMikdash will not be able to be destroyed. I am leading Klal Yisrael in a way that you cannot enter Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe, why did Moshe daven 515 times? And he got a no. 515 times he got a no from Hashem, and yet he kept davening and davening. What was his taiva? The answer is, let me go into Eretz Yisrael, kidei sheyiskaimu kulon al yadi. I don't have the whole Torah. I have billions of mitzvahs, but I'm missing certain mitzvahs which I cannot do in Chutz Laretz. Let me go in. So here again we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, although he was a billionaire in mitzvahs, but he was never satisfied. If there was a group of mitzvahs that he had not yet fulfilled, he had this desire, a taiva, a lust, a craving to go into Eretz Yisrael. Please, Hashem, let me do the mitzvahs that you commanded Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So if we think of it to our situation, it's the same thing. We are commanded also to have this Zos HaTorah Shesom Moshe Lefnei B'nei Yisrael. This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. And imagine, we go through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and we come to Chag HaSukkos. And this is actually a quote from the Sefer HaTodah, from Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov. I'll quote it in the Hebrew and translate. Hu adover b'chag ha-sukkos, ein loch ma'utur m'shufa b'mitzvahs u'b'karbonis k'chag ha-zeh. There's no other holiday, Jewish holiday in the year, that is so full of mitzvahs and sacrifices as this yontiv of sukkos. You have the mitzvah of sukkah, arba minim shalulav, shein mitzvahs min ha-Torah, the four species are mitzvahs from the Torah. Nisach ha-mayim, there's a special thing to pour out water on the Mizbeach, shehu halach l'Moshe m'Sinai, this is learned from a law that Moshe received at Sinai. Then you have the mitzvah of the Nevi'im, arava b'hashan arabe, shehu minig ha-Nevi'im. Then you have Tosfos Tzivui al Simcha Shu Gamina Torah, Kakosa Visomachto Bechagecha. We say in the Torah you should be rejoiced. It's a special mitzvah on Sukkah to rejoice. Ubitfile, we say in Davening, Chag HaSukkos Hazeh Zaman Simcha Seinu. It's a time of joy. And this is what the Chazal say. It's on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ulakachtem Lochem Soiva Smochais Esponecha. Don't read it. Don't read it. Sova, I'm satisfied with your joy. Elasheva smachos. There are 7 special mitzvahs that you have in the Chag HaSukkos. What are the 7 mitzvahs? The Dalad Minim Shevelulav, the four species, the Sukkah. Chagiga means the Korban Chagiga. There's a special Korban to be brought on Sukkahs. And Simcha means the Korban Shlomim. There was a special Korban of Simcha that was also brought on Sukkahs. So what do the Klal Yisrael do? Osam Mitzvosav. We do all of Hashem's mitzvahs. Usmechem Bechol Gzeirosav. And we are happy with all His commands. Yoshvim Besukkah, we sit in the Sukkah. Lokhim Dalad Minim, we take the four Minim. Menaschem Mayim Al Gabi HaMizbech Mitzvasa, we pour the water on the Mizbech. Shoyavim Mayim Besasa, we draw water when we have the Simchas Beis HaShaeva, where there was someone who did not see the Simchas Beis HaShaeva, never saw true joy in his life. V'noitlim arava by Shana Rabba. We take the arava on Shana Rabba. Umavim karbonis, we bring the karbonis. Umakrivim oilis, l'ratzois es koinam, l'chapra latzmam, v'akolam kulak, to receive forgiveness for the whole world. Goimrim shivis me'achag, we finish the 7 days of Sukkot. Einam ratzim l'bateim. We don't run to our homes. Elanetzarim l'fnei Malkum. We have Shmini Atzeres. Hashem says, one more day. Let's, the 7 days are connected to the 70 nations. We bring 70 korbanos, and then we bring one korban on Shmini Atzeres. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you and me, you're my friend, we're gonna celebrate one more day together. V'choygigim lefon of Yoyim Hashmi, usmeichim boy, ubetarasoi, asher bocher bohem, mikol om, v'noslam tarasoi. We have Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah together, in Eretz Yisrael, it's all one day. In Chutz Lartz, we have it 2 days, but there, it's all one day. So we also know the Medrash says ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon. You should take the esrog and lulav on the first day. The Medrash says rishon lecheshbin avonos. It's the first day of accounting for sins. We finished Yom Kippur. We got forgiveness for all our sins. The 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the men are buying lulavim and esrog and building the sukkah. The women are cooking for Yontif. So everybody is busy. They don't have time to do an aveira, and we're just the opposite of the nations of the world. If they had a major case and the death sentence could have been put on them, and they won the case, what would they do? They'd go to a bar and live it up. They would, they don't have to worry about this case for their life. And what do? We don't have such an attitude. The second we finish Yom Kippur, we make Avdolah, right away we go, we bring up Schach to put on the Sukkah. We go, we're entering, we want to do the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem doesn't count our Averis starting until Yom HaRishon, Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. On Sukkot starts the Cheshbon. So the Satan waits till Sukkot, and he's ready. Okay, now I'm ready. Now we can start counting the Averis. So he comes into Shul, and what does he see? He sees the Jews have in their hands the Lulav and Esrog. Their mouths are saying Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their hearts are full of joy in front of Hashem, and all their limbs are in the sukkah. The sukkah surrounds the whole body of a person when he enters the sukkah. So what's the Satan going to say? That your mouth is not good, your heart is no good, your foot is no good. He's surrounded with mitzvahs. So now we come on Simchas Torah. After all this, we're like Moshe Rabbeinu. We're like billionaires in mitzvahs. So what would be the attitude? It comes Simchas Torah, and we say, okay, we had enough. Nogil v'nosis. On Simchas Torah, we say, b'zoi satayra. Zoi satayra shesom Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael. That was the Torah. What was the lesson that Moshe taught? That mitzvah she'efshir l'kayim ha'kayimna. A mitzvah that I could fulfill, even though I'm a billionaire with mitzvahs, and even though I can only do a piece of a mitzvah, but I want to do more and more. So we are like Moshe Rabbeinu. By the time we get to Simchas Torah, we're so full of mitzvahs, and we would think, enough, I'm rich enough. No. Oyev mitzvahs, lo yizba mitzvahs. If you love to do mitzvahs, you're never satisfied. I want more. Hashem, that's what Moshe told us, Zoi Satorah, that even if you have a lot of mitzvahs, you want more and more. So at the end here, it says, we say in davening, Psach libi b'sora secha, open my heart to your Torah, Hashem, uve mitzvo secha tirdof nafshi, and your mitzvahs let me run after. So we could say that these two phrases refer to the two points that I made during this year. Zos HaTorah, Adam ki yomis ba'ol. That was the first Zos HaTorah. That Torah can only be acquired by a person if he, in a sense, gives up from his life. Meaning he gives up his gashmias. He gives up, the more he can give up materialism, the more spirituality can come to him. That's the first Zos HaTorah. We will rejoice with Zos HaTorah. And the second one is, B'mitzvah secha tirdof nafshi. That was the second Zos HaTorah. That was the lesson of Moshe to always run after mitzvahs. My, for your mitzvahs, Hashem, I will never get satisfied. I will run more and more. And that's what we conclude. Nogil v'nosis, let us rejoice. And that's why it doesn't say just b'Torah, but b'Zos HaTorah. One is Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yomus Ba'Oel, and one is Zos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei B'nei Yisrael. I just want to conclude, at least to say one new thing that I didn't say before, because this I think I have said before, but you don't remember it? I didn't remember it either, so I said at the beginning of this year. But anyway, I just want to end off with a short story, but a very powerful lesson. We've been speaking the whole year about Simcha, and Sukkot is Man Simchaseinu, and Simcha's Torah. We come to the climax of Simcha. I heard this story, Rabbi Schlesinger, who I quote very often, he said that someone told him that there's a minig to call great tzaddikim and gedolim before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and to ask them, please give me a bracha that I should have a good year. So somebody called up Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zitzel, and he asked Rabbi Avigdor Miller, please give me a bracha for the new year. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller told him, and this was right before Rosh Hashanah, he said, you should know that the main thing of Rosh Hashanah is that we should do mitzvahs b'simcha. So this person didn't understand, because Rosh Hashanah is not really a time of simcha. It's a days of awe. It's a frightening time. In fact, why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Because Hashem, the Gemara says, Hashem has opened in front of him Sifrei Chayim, the Sifrei Mason, the books of life, the books of the dead, and this is not a joyful time. It's not a time to sing Shira, to sing praise to Hashem. So he didn't understand what Rav Avigdor Miller was saying. So Rav Avigdor Miller said, I'll explain it to you. He said, an example, a person runs a business. So it comes the end of the year. He makes an accounting. He goes over his employees. Which one did a good job? That person will stay on. That person will get a raise, a bonus, whatever it may be. And then he looks at the other person, unfortunately, did not do such a good job. And they may not get a bonus. They may not get a raise. They may be given a pink slip and said, I'm sorry, it's not working out over here. So he says, what happens if you have a person who didn't do such a good job, really deserves to get the pink slip, but what the person did do is he brought in a lot of customers. And that he was one of the best in the company. His work in other areas was very weak, but the company's trying to sell, and he brought customers in. So that person, he's not going to fire. He's making the business work and make money. That's the bottom line. So he says the same is with a person on the Yomim Noraim. A person doesn't know himself. Am I worthy? Hashem looks, let's see, is he worthy of another year of life? Let's see what he did this past year. Maybe this person didn't do such a good job. He doesn't deserve it. So now Hashem looks at the person. So if the person goes around with a frown and he's always upset and he looks not besimcha, so then what's the message he's saying? The message he's saying is Hashem's not fair with me. He's not treating me fairly and I'm upset about it. So if people come in contact with that person, he turns people off. But if he goes around always with a smile, he goes besimcha. So then when other people see him, oh, look how geschmack Yiddishkeit is. Look, that person is so happy with life. I want to join that as well. So he gets customers. So that's what Rabbi Victor Miller said. That the main thing is to do things besimcha. Because even if you on your own merit don't deserve to have another year, but if you bring customers to Hashem, Hashem's in the business to get more and more customers in interested in Yiddishkeit. So if you're besimcha and other people see it, they'll want to join and be besimcha also. And you'll bring customers to Hashem, you'll be able to get a ksiva chsima toiva. So maybe we should all be zocha that we should be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs in a state of joy, ivduas Hashem besimcha, and through that we'll be able to draw more and more customers to our Kaddish Baruch Hu.